One thing that we have to, and we'll just be a few minutes. I'm not going to minister. The ministry of the word has really taken place with a tremendous job, tremendous. But because things are going to take place in the next few weeks, you really need to have some information given to you, and we want to make you a part of it. So as I said, it will just be a few more moments, but it is of a necessity that you get some information. One, I want to say thank you to everybody that's been praying for my mom, Peggy Flint. She is out of the hospital, so praise the Lord for that. We got her out Thursday, and she's doing much better. She was sent home with an infusion tube, that's a feeding tube, and she's starting to get her strength back. And so we praise God for that. And thank you for all of you that prayed for her. Many of you visited her in the hospital, and so we appreciate that so very much. This morning, there will be in the back, and I'll have somebody take this back there in just a moment, a sign-up sheet for water baptism that will take place on November the 1st. That is 3 Sundays from now, I believe. There will be 2 more Sundays. No, 1 more Sunday, and then the next will be November 1st. We will do an extensive teaching starting next week and the following week on the importance of water baptism. And we will show you from the Word of God why it is important to be baptized in water if you have not. For any of you that may be saying, I have not, does that mean I'm not saved? No, that does not mean that. Go home and be assured that you are born again if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. But having said that, I will give you multiple scriptures and doctrine for you to understand that there is a tremendous importance to be baptized with water. So, and we will do that on November the 1st, and we will have a semi-fellowship. We don't want to have an extended so much fellowship where we have to, you know, move all the chairs and stuff around. We'll probably have pizza that day. The church will take care of it. If you can't have pizza, then bring something you can have. But we want you, one of the things about baptism is that there is witnesses and that there are those that are participating, not only the candidate, but also the person, the people that will be a part of that joy and will partake with them. So we're not going to go into much teaching. I'm just going to give you maybe 5 minutes of word this morning, so we'll begin to introduce that. If you have, somebody said, well, who needs to be baptized? If you've been born again and you have not been baptized, please sign up for this. It is going to be at the neighbor's house next door, and it'll be very simple. After the teaching on that morning and after the service, we'll all walk across, and we'll have some worship. I'm not even really sure that there's anybody in here that needs to. I just felt like the Lord put it in my heart. I knew my neighbor was going away. If you were baptized, somebody says, I was baptized as a child. One of the things that we will teach, and I will show you from the Word of God, is that we do not teach or believe in sprinkling. The word baptize or the baptism means to be submersed. It means complete submersion. So if you were sprinkled, sorry, you were not baptized, and you need to be baptized. If you were baptized as a child and don't remember it, you were baptized too young. We do baptize children, and we do baptize small children, but anybody that signs up, you will get either a phone call from me, or we'll have a short interview that may be at the end of next week's service, where everybody sits in here And just so we know, number one, the prerequisite is that you must be born again, that you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And a child that cannot give a hope of what they believe in is, and I'm not talking about a real big explanation, but a simple understanding. They have to have an understanding of what is happening to them. So we don't take little babies and baptize them because it's cute to do that. They have to know what's going on. They have to understand. Case in point, age is not always relative. Our oldest daughter was saved at how old? 2.5, and we understood that she asked us, and she asked her mother to actually receive Jesus Christ into her life, and she did at 2.5, and she did it as a kid. There wasn't any theological expose of astronomical proportions afterwards, but we knew by what she was saying, she understood that Jesus Christ had come into her life. And so it was really, really wonderful. And if you raise your kids in a Christian home, I'm telling you, at 2.5, they can get born again. They can really get born again. It's amazing to me the born again nature, what happens to a person at the born again nature. I got saved at 11. And this is no brag. This is all to the glory of God. Believe me, had I not got saved, I was destined to hell just like anybody else. I think my accountability had just come into effect because I was not really associated with the world. I grew up in a Christian home, and that was really wonderful. There was like one weekend that I was exposed to sin with some older cousins of mine that I recognized some things, saw some things that I had never seen before, and it was almost like the very next Sunday, and this is the grace of God, because I had a praying mother, and my mother was born again, and this is what happened to your kids too. If you've got little ones growing up, they'll get saved almost immediately as they come into accountability. When they come into that place of accountability, God will get them born again. I got born again, I think, at age 11, and I got up. It was at 376 Prospect Avenue, Tice, Florida. Pastor Charles E. Fussell came down. I was sitting on that side of the church. I'm pointing to my right. It would be to your left if you're facing the congregation. I was halfway back. He preached. He had just gotten there as our senior pastor, and he preached a message. I can't remember exactly what the message was, but he gave an altar call. And we had those old, I believe it was wooden kind of tan benches, and he came back. People were coming down forward, and he came back, and I was sitting there, and I was under such conviction. I was under such conviction. No man that has ever been out in the world 25 years and has had all kind of illicit affairs, I was under such conviction. When he put his arm around me and said, "Son, would you like to receive Jesus Christ?" And I was, "Oh, yes, sir." And I came down and I prayed. And I remember asking Jesus into my life and crying and having such conviction. It was like I had been in, a hardened criminal and had all kinds of world. I mean, don't tell me that the born-again experience is not real. And it was so powerful that conviction was on me, even though I had not experienced the world. It was like I had lived in the world all my life. I was just begging Jesus, "Lord, come in. I'm so sorry. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me." And you know, what can an 11-year-old done so much at that time? But I had to be born again. Isn't that wonderful that the born-again experience is so powerful? Well, that is the prerequisite to water baptism. If we were to go just real quickly to John chapter 8, turn there with me. 5 more minutes, I promise. And Alex, if you'll do me this favor, if you'll hold this in your hand, as soon as we pray in just 4 or 5 minutes and I release this congregation, if you'll place that on the back table and see if you can find a pen or something, maybe Mavis or Marty can help you. if you have never been baptized, or if, I will say this, if you have been born again and you went out into the world and came back, he received you back, he cleansed you, if you feel like in your conscience you'd like to do this, you're certainly free as well. Look at John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, we know that what he was talking about, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Personification, he was the truth. He was, but he was also saying twofold, not only am I the truth, but all the sayings, everything that I teach you, that truth that will bring you into the born-again experience, that will set you free, the born-again experience itself. But the verse prior to that in 31 says, "If you continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed." The word disciples, as you've heard me say many times before, means disciplined follower. We, as disciplined followers, want to do just exactly what Matt was saying this morning. There really is no good for us. There is a good will for those who just meet him, maybe come into the kingdom, are born again. But for us that are pursuing this intimate relationship with him, our lives are never happy with just the good. Our lives have to go into the gold. It has to go into the perfect. It has to go into, Lord, whatever makes me more of your disciplined follower, that's what I want. That's exactly what I want. So in that, that's a major part of what we will show you next week as well. Matthew chapter 28, this is Jesus's departure, closing. In verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." Verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." The word teach there is not just the word teach, it's the word make disciples. And when he says make disciples, he says this, that we should make disciples and do what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is important, and we'll have much more to say about it next week and the following week. I'm looking down to see if there's anything you need to know before I dismiss you this morning. Hallelujah. And we could go on and on and on, and we'll do that next week and the following week as the Lord allows. Of course, if we were to go to Matthew's gospel and back up, which we won't because we are going to be done here in just a moment, we see that the Lord himself set an example. He himself was baptized by John in the River Jordan. So this morning, if you have not been baptized, I would say please write your name down. Put a contact, a way that I can contact you. There's nobody going to be turned down, I can say that. If you're born again and you just simply have said, I've received Christ, Pastor, I've not done this, or Pastor, I've done it, I did it at an early age, and I'm not sure that I really knew what I was doing. Am I saved? Yes, but we're going to teach you the value and the joy of doing this as well over the next couple weeks. So please put your contact information down there and your name. If we have one, that's all we need. Hallelujah. Amen. And if we don't, we'll still have pizza as well. Okay? Hallelujah. I love you, and Candy loves you, and we've had a wonderful time. And weren't you so glad that the Richards were with us this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. tonight at 6 o'clock. Oh, thank you. I've got to go into Fort Myers, so I won't be here, but it'll be a wonderful service. We're going to have testimonies from the Tulsa conference whenever we can do that, okay? Because next week we got teaching that's going to go on. There's going to be some powerful ministry here tonight. Is that one person going to be ministering here tonight?
Yes,
oh my goodness, there's a teacher, a prophetess, a woman of God. Miss Kirsten is going to be minister tonight. Hallelujah. And we are so excited about that. Thank you, Lord. So I just next Friday night, I don't know if we will have the Calling in the Lost service. We'll make a Wednesday night announcement on that. The reason being is I will be ministering in North Fort Myers at a church. It's a New Beginnings. I'm trying to see where I wrote that down. I think it's New Beginnings Church. I'll give you the exact name and address. They're having a conference this week, and they've asked me to be their Friday night speaker. So I would invite as many as would travel with us. They would love for you to come over. It starts at 6:30. It's in North Fort Myers. I'll give you all that pertinent information on Wednesday night. So if we have enough traveling on Friday night, we may not have the Friday night service. I'll be checking with Miss Gay. Praise the Lord. I wasn't here last Friday night as well because I was doing something incredibly important. Thank God I never was a hypocrite on this. I always told everybody, look, if I'd have had a boy, he wanted to play baseball, football, I'd have let him play baseball or football. So thank God when Josiah Trey Lubin had my first moment to be availability to get to his t-ball game. It was his second t-ball game. In fact, actually he had his first t-ball game when I was going away at the conference in Tulsa. And when I found out he was going to have it while I was going away to the conference in Tulsa, I almost canceled my trip to Tulsa. That's how I know it's so important. Hallelujah. It's very important. So he had his second t-ball game Friday night, so we weren't here. So hallelujah. It was important. Hallelujah. It was wonderful. And so, amen. 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 Had a good time. Stand with me this morning. Glory. Father, we thank you because we go out of here with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And we thank you, Lord, for the ministry that we've heard this morning, for the power of your word. Lord, what a great representation of those powerful words out of Ephesians 1. And Lord, the vision that we've heard that our hearts were able to attach itself to, because that's our vision. And anyone that is used to or is accustomed to coming here is hearing this vision, and they have fashioned our hearts to such a vision as this, to bring back the bridegroom. And to keep ourselves in such a posture that says, Lord, more, 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 more. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings, and we thank you for everything that you've brought into this day already. Let us continue to be reminded, Lord, that you're taking us from glory to glory. And we give you all the praise in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. Thanks, Lord.